Hello, and welcome to the Service Contractor's Business Tape of the Month. This monthly cassette CD series represents yet another step in accomplishing Granting Associates' vision of helping the service contractor come to a place of maturity and profitability. Each month, a different national speaker from throughout the service and trades industry shares dozens of cost-reducing, profit-increasing ideas to help you become a more profitable company. This month's tape is a continuation of last month's presentation and is entitled Contractor Personality Types Part 2. Now that you know what type of personality you are, it's time to find out how that knowledge can be of practical use when you're working with your customers. Like last month, this month's tape is another excerpt from Roger's award-winning tape series called The Secrets of Power Negotiating for Contractors. I know you're going to enjoy it.
In our previous session, we talked about the four different personality styles: the pragmatic, the extrovert, the amiable, and the analytical. In this session, I'll give you some tips on how to identify them. Then we'll talk about how the different styles relate to each other, and then how they negotiate differently. And finally, how you can use all of this to become a win-win power negotiator. Here are some more tips on how to identify the personality styles. First of all, the pragmatic will be very time management conscious. He doesn't waste time with a lot of small talk. Start off the conversation by asking him about the football game that weekend, and he'll very quickly get irritated and move on to business. He doesn't take long vacations because he perceives that as being a waste of time. He'll use time-saving gadgets such as telephone answering machines or a miniature tape recorder for taking notes. Probably all of the telephone prospecting machines in the country are owned by pragmatics. You know the machine that calls you up and tries to sell you insurance over the telephone? When I leave to go on a speaking tour, I'll leave my answering machine on, and very often when I come back, my answering machine has had a long discussion with one of those telephone calling machines about its insurance needs. The pragmatic businessman will typically have his call screened. The secretary will want to know who's calling before she puts the call through, and sometimes what you're calling about also. The business environment will be formal. He'll have a secretary that often places calls, a secretary who will confirm appointments for him, and will also usher you into the office rather than him coming out of the office to meet you. Pragmatics like participation sports with a high level of activity. For example, skiing, scuba diving, flying. He may like golf, but hates how long it takes and typically won't take the time to do it. He's tidy, he has an organized desk, and he always dresses quite formally. The extrovert, on the other hand, is friendly and open. He'll place his own telephone calls, doesn't necessarily want his incoming calls screened, will tend to meet you in the lobby if you go to his place of business, and give you a personal tour of the company. He greets everybody warmly as he walks around the building. He loves the excitement of spectator sports such as baseball or football. He'll probably have pictures of his family in the office, something a pragmatic might think is too informal. He'll spend time talking about his vacation or his hunting trip. But if somebody comes into the office for a business decision, or if he takes a call while you're there, he'll make the decision quickly. He's a warm and friendly person, but he's not afraid to say no to you. So he's personable, but at the same time he's assertive. Not particularly organized. You'll find that his desk is probably cluttered, and he has very poor follow-up. Not a highly organized person at all, but likable and fun to be with. The amiable tends to set up barriers. He probably has an unlisted home phone number and may have a no peddler sign on his front door. He's probably lived in the neighborhood for a long time because he develops relationships with things as well as with people. Probably drives an older car because he hates high-pressure salespeople. He hates the thought of going down to that car lot and getting ground today. You won't often find an amiable in management other than in a large corporation where the very format of the organization protects him from having to make assertive decisions. He seems to have very little sense of time management. Call him and ask him for an appointment and he'll tell you to drop by any time. He tends to be disorganized because he can't say no to people. When asked to be on a committee, he has a tough time refusing, so he tends to take on more work than he can handle. Their environment is warm and comfortable. They form relationships with the furniture in their office, with their home and with their car, and they don't like to change them. The analytical would most likely be an engineer or architect. Of all the personality styles, this is the one that you can most readily spot from what he does for a living. He probably has gadget mania and is surrounded by computers, calculators, phone dialers, and so on. He was the first person in his state to have a fax machine. He's a very curious person. Show him a book and he'll want to know when and how it was printed. He soaks up information he just can't get enough. He's fascinated by analysis and has charts and graphs for everything. It's interesting to see an analytical in a management situation. He feels that he can manage everything just by generating massive amounts of information. I knew a man once who ran a huge organization with charts and graphs and projections coming out of his ears. And he felt that as long as people knew where they were, what their performance had been, then in some mysterious way they had the tools they needed to get where they wanted to go. Of course, it's good to analyze where you've been and where you are right now, but it's not an adequate substitute for the people skills that really move an organization ahead. Analyticals are very precise about punctuality, so you'll never hear him saying, "I'll be there around lunchtime." He'll say, "I'll be there at 12:15. And they're very precise about figures. For example, he won't tell you that something costs just over $100. He'll tell you it costs $104.16. So those are some tips on identifying the personality styles. Now let's talk about some do's and don'ts for dealing with these people. With the pragmatic, don't waste time with small talk. You're there to present a big proposal, not chit-chat, and his eyes will glaze over if you try rapport building by talking about the basketball game last night. Don't overload the pragmatic with information. He'll make a decision with the least amount of information necessary. If you try to sway him with an overly enthusiastic presentation, you'll come across as phony. Expect a fast decision based strictly on facts. When you're dealing with an extrovert, paint an enthusiastic picture of the benefits to him. Get him excited. Talk about his interests, probably football and baseball. Get to him by telling him stories of triumph and disaster. Expect a fast decision based on his level of excitement about the project. When you're dealing with an amiable, go slowly. Wait until he trusts you. Demonstrate that you really care about people. Be careful. The slightest little thing will offend this person. Don't try to high-pressure him. The one thing in the world he doesn't like is being forced into making a decision. You'll just have to acknowledge that when you're negotiating with an amiable. He'll need time to think things through, and you're going to have to wait until he feels comfortable with you. With the analytical, be accurate. When asked for figures, give them to the penny. Be prepared to give every little detail of the operation. Try to build rapport by talking about his interests, probably engineering and accounting, analysis, computer technology, that kind of thing. As a manager, I'm sure you've realized that you have all of these personality styles working for you. And it's important that you understand your own personality style and how your employees are relating to you based on their personality style. Sometimes in the power negotiating seminars, I'll be working with a group of executives who all know each other very well. And I'll have each of the people analyze their personality style the way we have here. Then I'll go around the group and ask the other people who know them if that self-analysis was accurate. Are they really what they say they are? Sometimes we find there's quite a difference between what people think they are and the way other people perceive them to be. Then I ask the critical question. I say to them, "Okay, tell me what personality style your leader is." That's fun because we can get some specific answers. The entire group will laugh and say, "Oh, he's a pragmatic. He's so businesslike. He'll never go for a beer with us after work and never shows up at the company picnics," and so on. Other times they'll say, "Oh, he's an extrovert. The most fun guy we've ever worked for. Boy, he's always doing exciting things." Other times they'll say, "Amiable, no question about it. He's just the nicest, warmest, sweetest person in the entire world. Probably not as businesslike as he should be, but we just love him." Sometimes they'll laugh and say, "Oh, he's analytical. He's got two computers in his office and he's got a wall full of charts." So sometimes the employees uniformly identify the personality style of their boss. But on other occasions we get different answers as we go around the room. Some people will say their boss is analytical, some more amiable, some see him as an extrovert, and some as a pragmatic. What's happening is that analyticals are saying that their boss is analytical.
Amiables are saying that their boss is amiable. Extroverts are saying that he's extrovert, and so on. Maybe without even understanding what he or she has done, the leader has adapted his style of dealing with people to conform to each employee's individual personality style. How smart! So that when the analytical accountant comes into their office with a proposal, the boss will say, "You know, Joe, we don't want to jump into this. I really think we ought to get all the information we possibly can. Could you take a couple of weeks and really prepare an in-detail report for me so that we can really work this through thoroughly?" Whereas the extrovert comes into his office with the same proposal, he might say, "Joe, this is fantastic. I love it. This will set this whole organization on its ear. Let's go for it and let's start right now." When the amiable comes into the office, he'll say, "Mary, you know, we really got to consider the impact of this on the people. Gee, you know, the people who work here are so nice. They've been so loyal to us over the years. I don't want to do a thing that would offend a single one of them." And to the pragmatic, making the same proposal, he might say, "Joe, look, this isn't a religion. This is a business. I need to get the bottom line on this thing. How's this going to affect profits?" The leader's smart enough to adapt the way they react to the personality style of the different employees with whom they deal. Now let's take a look at how all this can help you as a contractor get the job. How can you use this to persuade that owner or developer or that general to pick you? This method of analyzing personality styles contradicts a lot of the things you may have been taught if you've ever been given sales training. For example, the one rule that always seems to be given to salespeople is, be enthusiastic. How can you expect other people to be enthusiastic about using you for the job if you're not? Well, enthusiasm is wonderful with the extrovert because they'll feed off that kind of excitement. And it's great with the amiable because they can get a warm feeling from the enthusiasm. And you can just sense how good he feels about that. It must be a good idea. But the pragmatic is turned off by enthusiasm. "Oh, don't give me that phony sales pitch," he's thinking. "Just give me the facts I need to make a decision." And there's no way you can tell me that an analytical will be bowled over by enthusiasm. They're not going to make a decision until they feel they have enough information. Another thing that salespeople are typically told is to dominate the conversation. When you're asked a question by another person, answer with a question. "Can you get the job done in 90 days for me? Would you like it done in 90 days? Can you give me 90 days to pay? Would you like 90 days to pay?" And so on. Well, this is great with the analytical. They love questions. They'll sit there all day asking and answering questions. And it's great with the amiable because it's a sign you care about them. But when a pragmatic asks you a question, he wants answers. He doesn't want to play verbal ping-pong with you. And the same with the assertive extrovert. They want facts and figures when they're in business dealings. They'll make a fast decision, but it's based on facts. Another thing that salespeople are told is that people buy with emotion, not logic. And the only reason they would need any logic at all is to justify the emotional decision they just made. Well, that's certainly true with the extrovert personality. Donald Trump spent millions on pink Italian marble for the lobby of the Trump Tower because he felt it was the right thing to do. And it's true with the amiable because the relationship is important there. But pragmatics don't spend money with emotion. They spend because it's going to generate the return they want. I remember staying at a brand new hotel in Fremantle, Australia, for the America's Cup races. A smart Australian investor had built the hotel and then sold it to Japanese investors just before the race. A clever thing to do, because when the Australians lost the cup, back to Dennis Conner, Fremantle lost a lot of its reason for being a tourist destination. The location of the hotel was great, right on the beach, and the lobby was magnificent, one of the finest I'd seen in any hotel anywhere. But the rooms were a disgrace. Even though it was brand new, it was clear to say they'd been fixtured in the very cheapest way. I'm sure that the pragmatic developer's line of thinking had been, "These Japanese investors are not going to inspect every room before they buy. They'll invest based on the lobby and the location. Why spend money on something they'll never see?" And certainly, analyticals don't make a buying decision with emotion either. They'll make a buying decision because all the numbers are in line. Now let's talk about how each of these personality styles negotiate differently. The pragmatic in a negotiation situation turns into a street fighter. A street fighter is a person whose only objective in the negotiation is to win. They're in that thing to win, and winning means to them that somebody else has got to lose, and what's wrong with that? That's the way the world is. And don't waste my time with all that wishy-washy win-win nonsense. Why on earth would I be concerned about their needs in the negotiations when that's what they're here for? I expect them to fight as hard for what they want as I'm going to fight for what I want. The extrovert tends to turn into a den mother as a negotiator. A den mother is someone who gets so excited about things that they tend to lose perspective. This is the person in your office that is organizing a softball team, and they're so excited and enthusiastic about it that it doesn't occur to them that there's anybody in the entire world who doesn't want to play softball on Tuesday night. Den mothers are the people most likely to have the whole negotiations fall down around them and not realize there was a problem. You'll see them come back into their office and kick the desk. They went with the other contractor. How can they do this to me? I was out drinking with them until midnight the other night. The amiable tends to turn into a pacifier as a negotiator. Their objective in the negotiations is not so much to win as to see that everybody is happy. And it's interesting to see the opposite personality style, the street fighter, negotiating with the pacifier. Because the street fighter will grind out every last dime of negotiations, convinced there's not another penny left on the table. And when it's all over, the pacifier will turn to them and say, "Now, are you sure this is fair? I wouldn't want to take advantage of you." And the analytical tends to turn into an executive style negotiator. Typically an accountant or an architect, all their life, everything's been okay as long as it's been buttoned down, nailed down, and in its place. They don't like the push and the shove of negotiating. They like everything to be rigid and in place, and their favorite expression is, it's the principle of the thing. The opposite personality style, the extrovert, will say, "Hey, look, we're only talking $500 here, so for heaven's sake, let's split the difference and get the thing going." And the analytical will say, "Well, I understand we're talking $500. Actually, since you're proposing that we split it, we're only talking $250, aren't we? But at this point, it's the principle of the thing I'm concerned about." So if you're an analytical, be careful that you're not too rigid in the way you negotiate. Now let's take a look at these different personality styles and see how their style of negotiating is different from what I want you to become, which is a win-win power negotiator. Let's take a look at each element of the negotiations. First of all, let's look at goals in the negotiations. The pragmatic street fighter's goal is very clear. Their goal is victory. They plan to win in the negotiations. The extrovert, den mother's goal, is to influence the other people. They just have so much fun, they get such a charge out of changing other people's minds, that in many cases what they're arguing for is not as important as the fact that they're able to take a position with which other people don't agree and then turn them around. The amiable pacifier's goal is agreement. They feel that the ultimate solution here is to get everybody to agree. The analytical executive's goal is to have order in the negotiations, to get the thing all sorted out so that it runs on an organized, well-run basis. But the goal of the win-win power negotiator, what I want you to become, is a wise outcome for all parties involved. Let's take a look at the relationships that exist in the negotiating process when you have these different personality styles involved. The street fighter has a tendency to frighten people. He's sitting there on the edge of hostility, and he's implying, "Look, if you don't go along with what I want, it's going to get very, very uncomfortable here, and you're not going to like it." The den mother personality tries to do it all by enthusing the other person, getting them so excited that he'll be able to sway them over. The pacifier wants to develop relationships. "If we like each other well enough, we'll all agree," is his philosophy. And the executive really ignores the relationships and negotiates strictly based on facts. But the win-win negotiator learns how to separate people from the problem. By bringing the people back from their emotional relationships with each other and concentrating on the resolution of the issue. The style of the negotiators? The style of the street fighter is very hard, domineering. The style of the den mother is excitable. The style of the pacifier is soft, maybe too soft, too easily giving in on things. And the executive remains detached from the personalities. But the win-win negotiator learns how to be soft on people, but hard on the problem. He's easygoing, friendly, likable, courteous with all the people involved in the negotiations, but he keeps hammering away, concentrating on the problems. And each of the four personality styles has their own particular fault as a negotiator. The street fighter, the dominant personality, tends to dig in to a particular position. They are bound and determined to get something out of the negotiations, and they won't budge from that even if it would be better for them to yield. The den mother tends to ignore the others and is not sensitive enough to what's really going on in the negotiations. The pacifier's fault is that they're too easily swayed, and the executive's fault is they're inflexible in the negotiations. Their method of negotiating differs greatly, too. The street fighter demands losses from the other people. He doesn't feel that he can win unless other people lose. The den mother wants to enthuse people, get them turned on to a particular concept, feeling if they're excited about it enough, they'll go for it. The pacifier tends to accept losses. This is their method. By them giving in, the other side will want to give in, too. The executive is very rigid in their style of negotiating. But the win-win power negotiator learns how to create options in the negotiations where nobody loses. So a key issue in the negotiating process is that the win-win power negotiator works to get people off of the positions that they have taken, largely because of their personality styles, so that they can concentrate on interests. This is a key point because positions can be 180 degrees apart, whereas interests can be very, very mutual. Take a look at the changing relationship between the United States and the Soviet Union. For 40 years, the Soviets had adopted a position that there's no sense arguing with the capitalists. They're not going to change until they dominate the world. Why negotiate with them? And I'm sure we Americans had taken the position that the Soviets were so inflexible, it seemed like a total waste of time to even talk to them. We'd known that ever since Khrushchev pounded his shoe on the table at the United Nations, that they wouldn't stop until they dominated the world with their philosophy. Now, those were positions that both sides have taken. And for 40 years, we concentrated on positions. Positions can be 180 degrees apart. But even when that is so, interests can be mutual. We both have a mutual interest in world peace. There's no question about it. We both have an interest in reducing our military expenditures. We both have an interest in becoming trading partners. And a good negotiator learns to get people off of positions that they have taken so they can concentrate on their mutual interests. And the key to be able to do this is to become familiar with the different personality styles with whom you will be involved and learn how they approach things differently and learn how you can mold them into a win-win solution.
As always, we welcome your feedback on each month's tape. Feel free to give us a call with your comments, or if you prefer, you may fax or email our office. Better yet, check out Granting Associates on the World Wide Web. Our totally redesigned website now has a complete listing of all of the products and services Granting Associates has to offer. Our address is www.grantingassociates.com, and it's also printed on the tape insert. Again, our website address is www.grantingassociates.com. As a reminder, our three-day basic business boot camp is taking the industry by storm. For more information, check out our website or give us a call for a free four-page flyer on the boot camp that provides all the details. The Service Contractor's Business Tape of the Month is produced and distributed by Granting & Associates. If we can be of service to you, give us a call on our toll-free line, 1-800-432-7963. Until next month, remember, invest your time and invest your money in those things that will reproduce.